It's our pre-show here on Friday. Shit. Now, tonight we should have, Tonight we should have a video chat. Whether we will or not, I can't guarantee because we're still working the shit out technically, man. Because as I have said before, and let me say it again, a major operational shift, change, whatever you want to call it, has taken place. These are my words. These are the words that I choose to use. Some others might choose other words, but these are the words that I choose. A major operational shift, major operational change. And frankly, it's for the good, because I can tell you, you know, it's good to learn your business. If you own a business, if you operate a business, whatever the fuck it is, you need to know every aspect of it, man. You know, it's a cliche, and one that I did not take wholeheartedly to heart, and I suspect that a lot of other people don't either. Now, it's not just me looking for company, as in misery loves company. I really think it's true. All right. I get this Marco Rubio story that's been printed off here. Let me see what else we have here. Just give me something to believe. We'll probably have a short pre-show. 10 dead at Philippine jail, rocked by Blaska. I got a cat outside. I've got a cat by the name of Thunder outside. Michael Phelps takes no shortcuts on path to fourth. Thailand blasts. More explosions target tourist towns. Rio Olympics. 5 takeaways from the new Rogue One trailer. DEA's missed opportunity on medical marijuana. Shifting tone. Trump entertains the notion he could lose. Well, why not print that? Well, you know, the Mormons don't like him as much as he wishes he had the Mormons. He ain't got the fucking Mormons because Mormons, it is said, and I don't know, but it is said that Mormons are not warm to messages that put down immigrants because Mormons themselves are immigrants. That Mormons do not warm to messages of that kind of thing because they themselves were driven from one state to the next early on in their history. So when they hear about people being targeted like fashion, they don't like it, you know? What's this about? Don't do that, man. Don't fuck with me, man. What is this? I don't want that motherfucking fade. Yeah, there you go. Trump makes play for evangelicals by noting his problems in Mormon-rich Utah. Why is it so fucking important to get evangelicals? I don't understand that. Getting Christians, I get. Getting, you know, Americans of any religious stripe, I understand is important, but what's the thing with evangelicals? Who gives a fuck about evangelicals who have a history of racism, homophobia, sexism? Evangelicals, that is, fundamentalist Christians. Let's get fucking straight here, man. Have a rich history of bigotry. So who the fuck gives a shit? See what I'm saying? Why does he give a fuck? Well, because he wants all the white people. Trump knows he's dead unless he has white people. He got no other vote. He's got no goddamn black votes, Hispanic votes, Asian, Pacific, whatever the fuck. Forget it. He can say all he wants about I love the Hispanics love me. Well, where's my African-American? And, gays love me. Donald Trump doesn't have shit. Now, the national debt, which is at $19 trillion, Donald Trump claims that he can cut it in half, I think, in 2 terms, 8 years. I think he said he could wipe it out. Because when I read the comment, I was stunned. And saying that he could cut it in half in 2 terms wouldn't quite stun me. Saying he could wipe it out in 2 terms, that would. The national debt is different from deficit spending, which is spending over what your budget is for each year. The national debt is what the country owes now. We owe $19 trillion. Now, these dipshits forget we had a global meltdown economically. When you talk about America's GDP or GNP being less than any other fucking president in the history of the country, we very quickly forget that in 2008, when Bush was still president, we had this calamity that was threatening the world in terms of economic health. And it was said then that we were on our way to a depression, a modern depression. What transpired by the world's terms, who knows? But by American terms, it was tough times, but nobody was standing in a soup line And if you lost a home, you lost your vacation home. And if your children were impacted, they couldn't go to private school anymore. They had to go to public school. This is what Americans think are bad times. That's what happened the last 8 years. Don't give me your fucking bullshit about how we suffered. And there were people that gave up working. You want to know who a lot of them were? Because I heard them interviewed on television. A lot of them were fucking mental cases that were running off to Washington to be a part of a Tea Party rally. And when you ask them, well, why aren't you looking for work? I gave up. I can't find a job. But you're on your, you're in your fucking Winnebago here. You're on your way to fucking D.C. and you're in a, what the, where'd you get the money for that? My savings? Yeah, bullshit. So, you know, there's the pitch, man, and there's the reality. And Donald Trump may understand that. I know that he's a very successful businessman, but I don't really, frankly, I don't really know what he gets about economics. I don't give a shit how successful he is. I don't care how smart he is selling real estate. Doesn't mean that he understands how the world works economically. It just doesn't. It just fucking doesn't. Knowing how much a piece of property is worth, what it's going to cost you to build something on it, as opposed to just, you know, letting it slide, selling it outright, what the interest is, how much money you need to borrow. Donald Trump owes $500 million to Deutsche Bank of Germany. $500 million. This lying motherfucker talks about America first. This cocksucker hires foreigners. He has his shit, and I underline the word shit, made in Asia. You've seen the commercials. We've been trying to tell you about it. The slave labor and child labor that manufactures that shit. These are guys, this Republican class, are guys that say, sure, I take advantage of how to fuck you, but I shouldn't be allowed to do that. And if you elect me, I will cure the disease that I've got. What the how dumb are you, man, that you buy that? How fucking stupid you got to be you buy a motherfucker like that? And that's what he's saying. I have this disease, and I shouldn't have this disease because the government let me get it. But I'll help me cure it. And the disease is greed, and the disease is anything for a dollar. Donald Trump, that motherfucker is going to continue to enrich the 1% that has all the money. He's got no interest at all in loosening some of that cash so that it does indeed flow to the middle class. Now, he ain't into that. He's going to tell you this bullshit that I know you bought. He's going to say this. We're going to create jobs with that money. We're going to create opportunity with that money. They haven't done it yet. What's going to get these people that hold on to all that wealth, that 1% who hold all of that fucking wealth, what's going to get them to loosen the fucking purse strings and actually start to build businesses or invest in businesses or hire people or expand businesses? What's going to get them to, you know, do that? How many more tax cuts do these motherfuckers need? Unbelievable. I got to go find a fucking cat. Where are you at, kitty? Hold on, man. Hold on. Let me see, man. I don't know. Forgot that I even had that fucking thing. See what we got here, man. Brian Auger, listen here. Don't let me be... Here he is. Oh, Julie Tippetts. Why was Julie Driscoll? I don't know. Whenever you're ready. The Brian Auger Anthology. Let me see what's on this track here. Brian Auger was like a jazz style. I don't know why I thought that he was with Julie Driscoll. I must be high on fucking drugs. Well, let me see, man. Susie and the Banshees. I was in England, and I was at the Abbey Road penthouse there. We were doing a show from there, a radio show, and Susie and the Banshees were recording downstairs. Well, they've got a pub downstairs at Abbey Road, and you've seen that picture of me. Maybe some of you have seen the picture of me just with the beer. I was loving that, man. But Susie and the Banshees were there that night, and they got into some serious fucking trouble. Well, not serious trouble. An alarm went off. They had gone in and out of the wrong fucking door at the studio. So I made a comment about it, and I didn't know that one of the band members was standing next to me and was ready to beat my fucking ass. And he was a lot bigger than me. And I was scared, so I had to retreat from there, this wheel being on fire. Well, the next day, we attempted to contact Susie, but she didn't spell her name Susie. She spelled it S-O-U-X-I-E, as in Sioux Indian, which, of course, is an offensive term to the Lakota Indian of the Northern Plains. Sioux is a disparaging term. I attempted to point that out to them, and that was one more fucking problem they had with me. So I fled England with Susie and the Banshees hot on my heels. No, I'm just kidding, but they obviously didn't appreciate my bullshit, so... Did we get the Trump makes a play for the evangelicals? Yes, we did. That's embarrassing. All right, next up here on the Phil Hendry Show News Hour. If your memory serves you well. Four killed in a wave of bombing, son, Jesus Christ. Trump team, RNC to meet a pivotal moment. Well, for Christ almighty, how many meetings are these motherfuckers going to have? Donald Trump's campaign and top Republican officials planned what one person called a come-to-Jesus meeting on Friday in Orlando to discuss the Republican nominee's struggling campaign, according to multiple blah-blah-blahs. Trump probably thinks that he'd be... Trump, I'll bet you anything, Trump thinks he's president of the United States if it wasn't for the media. Richard Nixon had that problem, too. Richard Nixon thought the media had it in for him. And, of course, that's what caused Watergate and the plumbers and the Pentagon Papers and the illegal bombing of Cambodia and the illegal invasion of Cambodia. All of that was started, of course, by the press. That wasn't Richard Nixon that did that shit. That was the press that did that shit. No, but the press could have explained it in a... Well, the press could have spun it in a Richard Nixon way, but I sort of understand why they didn't, because at the time and historically, it just was not a good thing to do, man. What you were doing is with the invasion. I remember the invasion of Cambodia. I was a senior in high school, and that is the day that Kent State happened. Kent State happened as the result of troops going into American troops going into Cambodia. That was the whole raison for the Kent State demonstration. Or maybe it was what touched it off. I mean, the campus was already in flame, but I recall specifically that being the spark. Anyway, and that was my senior year in high school. That was May of 1970. And, you know, that was Nixon's decision. And, you know, he paid for it, man. The country paid for it. All right. This ought to be Trump and the RNC meeting. If your memory serves you well, your face is airtight. You're right. Oh, okay. Trump, you know. You got to deal the hand that that you got dealt. You got to play the hand that you got dealt. You got to deal the hand that you got played. They want Priebus to cut off the funding to Trump. And I think this is what it's about. I think they're going to tell him, look, either you know how to run a campaign or you don't. I don't think Trump does, and no one's going to tell him how to do it. Donald Trump is going to win this thing the Donald Trump way without all of these assholes telling him what to do. Some people call that being a rebel. Okay, I'll give you that. But, you know, I'm the same kind of guy in the way that I do. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. However, here is the key to understanding how life works when you're one of those guys that doesn't go the way everybody wants you to go. Here it is. You ready? You have to accept the fucking consequences. You got to be one of the bravest people I know was a friend of mine who said to me, his name will be not mentioned, he said to me once, I do this and I do that. And I said, you realize if you do that, you're going to get a lot of people angry at you. He said, I already know that. I'm ready for it. And I accept those consequences. I said, so you accept the consequences of anger and, yeah, he says, of being ostracized, all of that. I already know. I'm willing to accept that eventuality. I'm willing to accept that eventually. I said, what if it meant losing my friendship? He said, I'm willing to accept that. He said, I love you, but if you leave, I'm not changing. Think about that. Stupid? I don't know. I know a lot of people in the news who talk that shit all the fucking time. There's only one thing that's missing from it. They are not willing to accept the consequences. When the consequences arrive, they want to blame every other motherfucker for getting it wrong. Donald Trump is one of those people. He's one of those people. He does not accept consequences. Now, the reason why I don't accept Donald Trump, the reason why I have such a problem with Donald Trump, is because I've had a problem my entire life with people that do not take responsibility. I grew up in a family like that. I've known people like that. I don't like people like that. And I always, 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 always stand against people like that. And I point out people like that. And I do whatever I can to make their lives as shit-filled as possible, because I know the damage they do. They cause rage. They cause, serious rage. Nothing causes rage like hypocrisy and saying one thing and doing something else. And when something happens that you caused and you won't take responsibility for it, you're a hypocrite. And nothing, as I said, engenders rage like hypocrisy. So those people really need to, you know, own up, and they don't. And as the result, we have the situation that we've got, Ed. You know, it's not the prettiest picture, I'll tell you that. Right you are, sir. Okay. I'm going to do me some sit here, man. Hold the phone, man. Police station. And I would think that the three characters that we would need tonight would be... let me see here. Notepad. How much time? It's 12:07. Jesus Christ. Ted Bell. So I was over today at my buddy. He has the mail center over there in Westlake Village here in California. And this cat, by the way, he's selling his business for $150,000. That seems like he's got one of these mail centers. He's in the middle of one of the outer ring suburbs of Los Angeles that is considered to be the new Beverly Hills. It's called Westlake Village. I wouldn't put it at Beverly Hills level, but it's pretty, you know, pretty well-heeled. This dude's got the mail center there. Nothing but fucking traffic. Every time you turn around, there's people coming and going and coming. Selling the whole thing for $150,000. $150,000. I don't know anything about mail centers, do you? But I was telling Lauren, I said, you got 150 grand, go buy it, man. You know, seems like but I don't know anything about running a business like that. Anyway, the reason why I brought him up is he is just back fresh from Sri Lanka, which is where he is from. And he brought with him more drums. You guys saw that one drum that I had in the studio. I got two more now. One is exactly identical to the other. It's kind of a bass drum, and the other is a smaller drum. I love drums. I probably should have gone into, you know, music and become a drummer, because something about Scottish people, you know, we love drums. Ginger Baker, I don't know if he's Scottish, but hey, we love our drums. And I really should have, become a drummer. All right. The Beatles legend Paul McCartney says his working relationship with the late John Lennon is irreplaceable. The 74-year-old musician doesn't think he will ever get on so well with another collaborator again as he did with the late musician. No shit, man. Oh, man. What a disgrace, too, that he was murdered here in the United States, isn't it? I guess it makes sense. I guess it figures. John Lennon and the rest of those guys, they wanted to become internationally renowned, and they had to do it by one way of doing it was to do it through America. You couldn't conquer the world unless you conquered the United States. And they did. Their first trip here, they kicked ass. You know, they played three fucking dates. I think they played New York, D.C., and Miami. That was it. They did not three dates, but three towns. And then they went back to England. They did a series of three cities, Ed Sullivan, and then in D.C., I think some bullshit, and then down to Miami, and then bang, back over to England, and then they came back for a more extensive tour later on. But they conquered America, and it would make sense in some strange, synchronistic, poetic, and tragic way that it would be America that would do them in, at least do one of them in. The violent, passionate, consuming reaction that America had to the Beatles, had to own them, had to eat them, had to swallow them, had to chew them up and spit them out, had to love them, had to fuck them, had to, you know, America couldn't just let them be the Beatles. We had to just, you know, subsume them, man, and consume them and just, you know, smother their asses, you know. And John Lennon made a home of the United States. He came here to live. He had just donated money to the New York City Police Department to buy bulletproof vests. He had. Look it up. He had just donated money to the NYPD. And he gets murdered right there in front of his home, in front of where he lived. It's too rich, man. Too fucking rich. All right. I thought we played this goddamn song, didn't we? We didn't? Ready?